The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Andrea Kay Show. She's blonde, 5'2", and 102 pounds of dynamite in a dress. Here she is, Andrea Kay.
Welcome back to tonight's Andrea Kay Show. A little bit of a CW, country western feel there on the music. Glad to have you with me for hour two of tonight's Andrea Kay Show. If you missed hour one, we covered a lot of great ground, man. Y'all need to be listening to that. Looks like we are literally on the brink of World War III outside of the country, as well as a war within our own country, the U.S. government against the citizens. And so download the podcast, listen to that last hour if you missed it. If not, download it and share it with other people because they need to hear a little bit about what's going on here and around the world. And also we got some thoughts for Trump last hour as well. We love Trump, but just like you have to give corrections sometimes to your family members and your children, we gave a little tough love to Trump last hour as well. And we got more tough love to give, more laughs, because we also had some laughs last hour, thanks to Kamala Harris. That was a super fun segment. Email me at andreakayshow.com, andreakayshow.com. We got a crazy story coming out of Bakersfield. We're going to get to that in a moment. But before I do, I got to bring in this man. He's the one and only DJ Sesame Broccolini.
I'm as mad as hell. I'm not going to take this anymore.
That was a really good first hour, by the way. And my big takeaway, guys, look, power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts. Absolutely. This government is just so big and so bloated and so powerful. It should just be assumed that there's a lot of corruption and there's a lot of backstabbing going on. And there really is. And just the more you read about it, the more cynical you get. But I don't want that to be the takeaway. The takeaway should be, let's take our country back.
Yes.
As the great Aldersky says, we have a country to save. So let's go save it for real, all of us.
Speaking of the great Aldersky, he's scheduled to come on the show Monday, by the way, peeps. Ooh. So, yes, the great Aldersky, the sage of South Central, will be back with us. All right. So, before I move on, I just mentioned that was a little CW, a little country western flavor there. Interesting thing that I found out today, I forwarded on the socials. I can't verify if this is true, but a news outlet or, you know, a media outlet reported that Jay-Z paid $20 million to radio stations to get that song of hers, Texas Hold'em, played across the airwaves. And I don't know if it's true, but it certainly explains a lot to me because that song is musical terrorism. I'm not a musician like you are, Sesame Broccolini, but that song offends. Your thoughts?
It is, honestly, just listening to it, because there's – at first it was just the single, Texas Hold'em, but then the whole album came out and it's all bad. It truly – just the album cover, the whole music, I don't even really
it's
want
like
to
a parody.
Call it music.
Yeah, it's like a parody.
It really feels like it should be kind of like a Weird Al Yankovic kind of parody. Yeah. It's the weirdest. It's like hip-hop meets dubstep meets house meets
it's
wannabe
terrible.
Country. That is not –
it's terrible.
It's a slap in the face to Johnny Cash, to Willie Nelson, to all of the outlaw country, to the Grand Ole Opry, to Dolly Parton. Like it's a slap in the face to every real country artist out there, most of whom – are very patriotic people, by the way. And that's one of the things I like about the country music community. Go to a country bar, they all have American flags. They're all MAGA.
It's
that's
a
just
culture.
Assumed. It is.
It's a culture as much as it is a style of music.
100%.
Stay out of, you know, you got to, these libtards, they can't leave anything alone. They've got, it's like a cancer that metastasized. It's like, man, you know, you've got a whole group of people over here who call you queen and this and that, and you know, which I think is bizarre. You know, there, you know, she's got her whole people, like Taylor Swift has her Swifties. And I think Beyonce and Taylor Swift are on the same pretty much level in terms of, you know, lack of vocal ability and bad music. Y'all can, that's just my opinion. I've never liked Taylor Swift music long before she put any politics out there.
Taylor Swift takes the cake when it comes to overhyped and completely overplayed. I mean, just lack of her music just sounds uninspired. That's all I'm going to say.
And it's like she talks. There's no melodies. It's like she talks
rhythm,
through
the most
it,
vanilla
no
thing you've ever heard. Unbelievable.
It's just
Like no sense of soul. Just like no real defining character. It's like, did you guys just make this music in a lab? You know, just for like mass radio play, thinking that it's the most basic, unintrusive, no real direction, so you can play it in waiting rooms. It's elevator music at best, honestly.
Yeah. And, you know, she gets all this credit of, she wrote this song in 30 minutes. Yeah, it shows. It shows. Okay. okay. So, moving on, there is some person, let me see if I can pronounce her name, who has spoken up at the city council meeting in Bakersfield something like 30 times. And she went on Reedy Patel. She's young. She's 28 years old. She has gone to, like I said, the Bakersfield city council meeting some upwards of like 30 times. I don't know what all she was doing the last 29 times, but she is pro-Palestine, and you can tell from her rhetoric that she's really pro-Hamas. And so she went to a meeting and began to threaten the mayor and the council with murder. And the rant went on about 3 minutes. I pulled a little bit of it, but hopefully you're going to get a gist of this nutcase and this terrorist. Sesame, please play the clip.
I understand that you guys are all horrible people, but the thing is, 2,300 people being evicted in the last year, those are votes. And you guys, those are votes to win here in Bakersfield. And while you guys parade Gandhi around as a Hindu holiday called Chaitra Navratri starts off this week, I remind you that these holidays that we practice, that other people in the global south practice, believe in violent revolution against their oppressors. And I hope one day somebody brings the guillotine and kills all of you motherfuckers. The increased criminalization for no need other than you don't like when people come and hold you guys accountable for introducing ceasefire resolutions, because the only escalation in violence has been by you all. And so there's no need to continue. In the last 5 years I've attended city council meetings, there's never been metal detectors. There's never been more cops. The only reason you're doing it is because people actually don't care if you guys don't like them, and they're actually resisting. So you want to criminalize them. So regardless of whether you elect people into office, they'll backstab you, they'll let you die. And for that reason, you guys want to criminalize us with metal detectors. We'll see you at your house. We'll murder you.
Wow. Yeah. That was just the last minute and a half of it. She started out by saying Jesus would kill you himself. This is the level of hate that's going on, that's being allowed. They probably have newly metal detectors, and that it increased cops is probably something new. Bakersfield is a fairly conservative area, by the way, probably because of all of the no bail policies and all the crime happening across California, where all the illegals and criminals and violent felons are running around shooting people. This person was arrested and booked into jail on suspicion of 8 counts of threatening with intent to terrorize and another 8 counts of threatening certain city officials during her comments on enhanced security at the meetings. We'll see if she's charged with anything. I'm not really that surprised that she felt comfortable as a person of color going and threatening to murder city officials. Because, you know, that's the sentiment today. We've been talking about this with the OJ after OJ died, how from what was his name? Mark Lamont Hill, CNN, even Sonny Hostin on The View, all that basically all saying at this point that, you know, OJ had to be acquitted and because of the system being racist. Therefore, right now, it's okay to kill white people as basically a form of reparations. I want to hear from you guys on this. I even asked this question. Do you feel scared now as a white person in this country? I do. Because the sentiment on the part of the Democrats, of people of all color, is that it's okay to kill white people because of our racist history. What are your thoughts on this, Baker's? And by the way, think also of that clip in the context that Christopher Wray is warning of coordinated Islamic terror attacks in this country. And we have a counterterrorism unit that has no reference whatsoever to jihad in it. Your thoughts, Sesame?
Well, it's also coming from a government that says their number one threat to the country in national security terms is quote unquote white supremacy, which is just complete nonsense. It's always been a garbage talking point. But this clip, you know, the idea that she's going to get away with these, you know, extremely hostile threats, it's not just a double standard. It's a part of the left's new assertion of a racial supremacy system. They're building a hierarchy where white mm-hmm. people are at the bottom and are really seen as dispensable. I mean, I can't believe I'm saying it in modern America, but it even does occur to me sometimes where, you know, if I'm in LA or certain parts of San Diego where I do realize people are looking at me differently, probably making judgments because they see a white kid, they know nothing about me, but that's where we are now. It really is disgusting and disturbing, and people should be on high alert. I mean, this is pretty brazen to threaten people like this. It's disgusting and disturbing. And again, this is beyond a double standard at this point. And it's the same with OJ. Maybe it started there and that was a pivotal moment. But this is a new system of racial supremacy. And it's not putting white people at the top. We're at the bottom of the ladder. White lives are seen as dispensable. We're not a priority. It's even saying that sounds weird. Maybe I'm wrong. Let me know if I'm going too far here. But that it seems like that's what's being set up.
And it's not even that we're dispensable. It's that we deserve to be killed.
Yes, you're right. That's a better way to put it. Yes, it's that we are inherently an oppressor, and therefore, by any means necessary, it's okay to censor us, silence us, attack us, threaten us, make us uncomfortable. And that's what networks like CNN want to see. They want to see white people uncomfortable. And listen to all these lefties with BLM or whatever organization. It's we want to go into white spaces and make them uncomfortable and shame them for their whiteness. That's the rhetoric we've been hearing for years and years now. So look, I don't know what's going to happen, but it feels like leftists really want some kind of a race war slash an attack on law and order slash just overall anarchy to dismantle all the systems that they believe to be evil. So I don't know. Maybe I'm off base, but it really seems like they're ramping up this rhetoric for a reason, and it's the pressure's building to something. It's yeah, going to go somewhere, and it's not going to be pretty, and I'm on high alert.
Yeah. And I tell you, and this is at the same time in which they are coming for our guns,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Christopher Wray, you know, we've been talking about this throughout the show about the warnings of, you know, their warning about Islamic terror attacks, doing nothing to stop it. In fact, they're coordinating them coming in at the same time that, you know, they're pushing through FISA abuses so that they can spy on Americans. And Bill Barr saying, oh, we got to have that FISA because that's the only thing that's going to help us with the terrorists. Well, get this. Newsmax is reporting today that a man on the terror watch list was released by the Border Patrol and remains in the U.S.
Wow.
Yo, but Bill Barr says it's the FISA. These FISA, warrantless FISA, that's going to save this country. What a bunch of hooey. Speaking of illegal immigration, I've never really wanted to move to Colorado, but now prayers for the citizens of Colorado, because wait till y'all hear, speaking of crime and illegal immigrants, wait till you hear what's coming out of Denver. We'll talk about that when we come back.
You're listening to somebody who tells it like it is. Andrea Kaye on The Answer San Diego.
Welcome back to tonight's Andrea Kaye Show. I'm kind of torn. There's so many reasons why the Democrats have orchestrated the invasion, part of the Great Replacement. Initially, it was about trying to turn Texas blue. It's a double-edged sword. The idea of Governor Abbott sending illegals throughout the country did do a lot to raise awareness of the issue. But it's also gone a long way, given how many illegals are coming here, into turning red states, other red states, blue, Colorado being one. They used to be a solidly conservative state. It's not just the open border. It's not just Governor Abbott sending illegals there that are turning it blue, but it's going a long way to doing it. It's going a long way to making that permanent. The Denver mayor now said, quote, "We want to be a welcoming city for migrants that, quote, requires shared sacrifice," he said. Sesame, American citizens now being required to make sacrifices for people who broke into this country. What's one of the sacrifices? Well, according to this report here, Denver is going to cut the police budget to pay for illegal immigrant housing. Yeah. How many more Lake and Rileys is there going to be happening in Denver? He announced this week that the city will cut its police, sheriff, and fire department budgets to pay for the, quote, newcomer program strategy. They're not even calling them immigrants anymore. They're just newcomers. Yeah, we got some family coming to visit. We got to make room. Yeah, this program has a budget of nearly $90 million and exists to fund and shelter, fund aid and shelter for illegal immigrants in the city. To fund it, the police department budget will be cut by $8.4 million. The fire department budget will be cut by $2.5 million, and the sheriff's department's spending will be reduced by 2.2%. The justification? Denver's mayor said that the cuts Denver as being fiscally responsible. Quote, "So many times we were told that we couldn't be compassionate while still being fiscally responsible," he said. "Today is proof that our hardest challenges are still solvable and that together we are the ones who will solve them." Wow. Crazy. Crazy. So we're 40,000 illegal immigrants have descended upon Denver. Let's say only 10% are murderers and rapists, and they're cutting the police budget. Your thoughts, Sesame?
Yeah, this is just completely idiotic for so many reasons. I mean, number one, these aren't newcomers. Number two, these aren't migrants. These are criminal aliens. So let's be very, very clear about that.
Who drug should not traffickers, be in- child sex traffickers.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. I mean, the crime rate in Latin American countries is rapidly falling because we're absorbing criminals left and right. And somehow we're going to punish citizens and take money away from them in a time of economic turmoil because Bidenomics has failed everybody. And you're going to start cutting away from law enforcement, which is just going to empower other local criminals that are looking for the next opportunity. So this is just completely idiotic for so many reasons. And also just to think, I mean, there's no end to this madness. I mean, they think that this is just – it's going to stop here. It's like he thinks if they just accommodate it right now, then the other illegals just won't come and keep flooding the system. You start handing out free stuff, you're going to make the problem drastically worse because now you're a hotspot where people are talking to each other. You think these people aren't, you know, communicating with each other saying – "Hey, man, if you come to this city when you get into the country, you're going to get free food or healthcare or housing or, you know, a debit card with thousands of dollars for prepay and you can spend it on ethnic shampoos or whatever it is you need, movie tickets and cars and fancy shoes and Nikes and Air Jordans." So, yeah, this is completely idiotic and he's opening the floodgates to so many other issues. It's also, by the way, not compassionate. I hate this narrative that accommodating criminal aliens and taking food out of the mouths of American citizens and just giving it away to people who didn't work for it, who didn't earn it, who aren't entitled to it, that's not compassion. Okay, that's the dark side of empathy. You care so much about people from Latin America or wherever they're coming from, China, Iran, Russia, whatever, 73 plus countries, but you don't show that same kind of compassion and care for your own people. It's like Newsom cleaning up the streets of San Francisco for Xi Jinping, but not for the residents of San Francisco. The liberals, they just don't get it time and time again. They think compassion is ignoring their own constituents and then groveling at the feet of people who storm into this country with no plans of assimilating just to collect free handouts. So no, it's not compassionate. And this is idiotic. And it's just – it's sad. It's sad.
Yeah. It's insane. You know, our nation is just rapidly being completely destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
Economically, mm-hmm. culturally, criminally. We've got no law and order at this point. We've got a completely corrupt government. Look, civilizations is it civilizations that typically not civilizations. What is it that typically only last a couple hundred years? Empires. Yeah. We are so far in the decline, it's frightening. But we can turn things around. We need to put the pressure on Trump to recognize, to wake up. We need to pray to the Lord that he pulls some scales off Trump's eyes, and that he do better at recognizing who his true friends are and who aren't. And the basically him cozying up to Johnson today was the same thing that he did in 26 with Ryan Priebus. And we can't save this country with that. We just can't. Is it possible that Trump is playing a game himself, saying, look, I just want to get to the White House and then I'll go scorched earth? People are who they are. No matter where you go, there you are. And I don't know. Do I still want to vote for him over Joe Biden? Absolutely. Don't get me wrong. But we got to put some pressure on him. He needs to be, instead of taking the stage with Mike Johnson, he needs to be working behind the scenes to develop a machine that he can take in there that doesn't involve anybody who's currently in D.C. He needs a war machine to go in there with him. And he needs to go in there like he's General Patton. And he ain't worried about his reelection, obviously, or anybody else's. Myopic tunnel vision. Here's what we've got to do to save this nation. And you're either going to get on board with me or you're going to get a pink slip. And Christopher Wray, I want him to take to the microphone right now and say, dude, it was a mistake to put him in there. He's gone day one. And Barr was a mistake. And my next attorney general will be from outside DC. My next CIA director, outside D.C. There would be nobody running any of the agencies that currently lives, works, or operates in any way within the Beltway. All right, we're going to take a little break. When we come back, I recently sat down with president of Magic Die Call, Dr. Richard Presser, to talk about IWantMyHealthBack.com. Here, next segment, you're going to hear a little bit more of my conversation with him. Stick around.
The information provided is for educational and personal alternatives. Statements have not been established by the Food and Drug Administration. Therefore, the following content is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Welcome back to tonight's Andrea Kay Show, continuing our really intriguing and exciting conversation, quite frankly, with Dr. Richard Presser from Magic Die Call. And their products are life-changing because they're actually part of our body's blueprint. Do I have your attention yet? Stay with us, because if you missed any part of the last segment, you're definitely going to want to download the podcast to catch up as we talk about these amazing discoveries. And you'll know how important it is to me to live healthy. I might talk about eating donuts, and yes, I have a sweet tooth, but I actually care so much about my body and my health and yours. So, Richard, you were explaining how this polycosanol is the blueprint for life, and it's food for our bodies. Explain.
So, yes, let me back this up a little bit. Firstly, let me say that these products do not treat, heal, or cure anything. Okay. What they do is trigger our bodies to take care of themselves in ways we never imagined. There is yet to be a human health condition of any type that this has been tested against, that it doesn't show the body to take care of for itself in the presence of this beautiful product. The common source of it is things like unrefined sugar from sugarcane, known as jaggery or gur, depending on what part of the world you're in. Unrefined rice, peanuts, wheat, these are common sources. Rabovitz developer says it's in the sun-splashed areas of all plants. So if you think about a leaf, you know, it's got a waxy coating on it, if you will, it stops the water getting in. That's polyphenol at work. And so the distinction between this and you know, coarse ordinary polycosanol needs to be understood. If you take a lump of salt or sugar and you dissolve it in water, you get a nanoemulsion, but the results are predictable. But if you take polycosanol, which is a wax, and you turn it into a water-soluble nanoemulsion, which is what this product is, the results are not predictable. And so as a result, this product is patented across 80% of the global population. Very interesting product for sure. And so a small percentage of the normal polycosanol in our unrefined food is actually in this nano form. So it's a natural nano, and in a way it was whispering to our bodies, if you will, before our food got refined. And then our food got refined, so that whispering went away. And in my opinion, it's one of the reasons we've seen this explosion in allergies and autoimmune diseases and so on that we see today. And now, post-jab, it's turning up. I said, you know, in my view, we live in a very special time in not just on this planet, but in all of creation. And so for me, it's no surprise that this beautiful product has turned up in this way. I was talking about the evidence that, you know, it has this profound relationship with our bodies. I started to say that we have some 48 or 9 nuclear receptors in our cells. And these nuclear receptors are kind of like the operating system of our bodies, the software, if you will, that runs mm-hmm. our bodies. The perhaps the best known of them is the vitamin D receptor, which we know is key to our immunity. And vitamin D turns on the vitamin D receptor. What's interesting, however, is if the vitamin D receptor is overactive, which can happen, vitamin D can do nothing. It can only turn it on. And so we heard during the COVID period, for mm-hmm. example, of cytokine storms in the body and so on. And to have a cytokine storm in the body, you need to have an overactive vitamin D receptor.
So well, let me interrupt you there, doctor, let me interrupt you there because I want to catch people up if they've forgotten. It's been a few years since COVID. One of the things that was happening as they discovered one of the comorbidities for COVID was lack of vitamin D. We actually have a vitamin D deficiency in America. So then what was happening was people were overloading with all these supplements of vitamin D and having too much in their body. But what NanoSoma does is it allows the body to regulate the vitamin D, correct?
Even more than that, Andrea, what it does is it actually replaces the body preferentially uses this little nanoparticle to turn on the vitamin D receptor. It's a particle, its relationship with our biology is much older than vitamin D, you understand? It's profound. And so the body actually stopped using vitamin D to turn on the vitamin D receptor. It uses this little particle. So it turns on the vitamin D receptor, but it's overactive. It turns it down or off. Vitamin D can't do that. So it regulates the vitamin D receptor. And what you find if you're using NanoSoma is that your vitamin D levels actually go up. You can probably hear the enormous racket from the birds in my backyard here. My wife feeds them, and there's all manner of young birds and so on that turn up here for their breakfast or lunch or whatever it happens to be in the moment. It's wonderful, actually, but it's a bit of a cacophony. Not as bad as chainsaws, but it's pretty entertaining.
let's also talk. Go ahead.
So I was going to say, it regulates all of our nuclear receptors, not just the vitamin D receptor. I'm just saying, what you find when you're using this is your vitamin D levels will actually go up, not because this product is producing them, but because the body is no longer using the vitamin D you're getting, so it stores it. So anyone that's using this product, if you have a blood test and have your vitamin D checked, you know, after you've been using the product for a while, for a year, let's say, you will find that your vitamin D levels are quite high. quite naturally. Again, the product's not making vitamin D, but the body stops using it, doesn't need it. So we have all this concern about having vitamin D levels up. And as you say, you know, it's a bit of a trap because vitamin D is actually a hormone. You use too much of it, it starts screwing up your hormone system. But let's not go too far down that path.
Yep.
But it's regulating all of the nuclear receptors. It's unheard of. Some of them do have a way to be regulated.
Excuse me for interrupting, Richard. So I apologize so much, but it's like things are flashing in my brain. You know, our government here was never telling people about immunity and natural immunity and never offering any advice on anybody on how to boost their natural immunity. It was all stay at home until you were so sick that you had to go into the hospital and be shoved on remdesivir and a ventilator, or then wait inside your home until you got the jab. But there is so much that God created in our universe. And in this case, the nanoparticle actually was a part of what created life that I believe the Lord used. Ability with our own bodies to build immunity against every virus that's out there. And that includes another deficiency that was going on with COVID, which was vitamin C. Talk to that. Speak about that.
I will talk about that, but before I go there, I will just mention, you know, if we look, for example, at the thyroid receptor, we can have hypo or hyper thyroid issues, but that comes down to regulating the thyroid receptor. You know, this stuff doesn't care whether you've got either a hyper or hypo thyroid issues. It resolves them by regulating the thyroid receptor. So the body takes care of all of that for itself. So your question about vitamin C, basically this triggers the production of vitamin C in your body, not by activating the gene that other animals use, because that stopped working for us a long time ago. Most animals can produce vitamin C in their livers. We and primates and guinea pigs can't do that. But this the body, in fact, turns out to have another mechanism to do it. And it turns out it actually expects to do it because it treats vitamin C as an endogenous compound, which means it's a compound it expects to make itself. Other animals can display higher levels of vitamin C than we usually do, even with whatever level of supplementation, because the body will only tolerate a certain level of external vitamin C and throws the rest away. It oxidizes it. But when you're using nanosoma, the body has a mechanism to produce vitamin C. And I will explain that in detail after the break.
All right. We are going to take a break when we come back. You hear about vitamin C, and then there's ester C, and there's all these kind of different supplements that have this as a part of it. How about you get your vitamin C in the natural way? And so we're going to take a skinny, tiny little break. Coming up next, final segment of tonight's Andrea K Show. Who's the hero and who's the stink of the week? Stay tuned.
AK, Dynamite in a Dress, or just Andrea K, whatever you call her, she's on The Answer San Diego.
Welcome back to tonight's Andrea Kay Show. It's time for Hero of the Week and Stink of the Week. And y'all not going to believe what I have for a nominee of Hero of the Week. I guarantee you, Sesame, there's no way you could guess who my heroes of the week are.
Can I get a hint?
Okay. Let's see. The next healthcare threat to America.
What?
They're doing. We know that now that COVID-19 is gone, they couldn't get any hysteria over the bird flu, right? They had to come up with something. So my heroes are the hypersexual zombie cicadas that are infected with a bizarre STD fungus that is supposedly going to emerge in the United States. Y'all, this is a true story. This is our health officials now are so desperate to try to get you panicked over some kind of health crisis that they're now blaming the, quote, hypersexual zombie cicadas with their STD. This is like real, okay? You thought the murder hornets were scary. Wait till you see a hyped up horny cicada. This is the dumbest thing. Thank you, cicadas, for offering to be the sacrificial lamb on the altar of the CDC and the NIH. The comments on Twitter about this are hilarious. Savannah Hernandez said they're called OnlyFan models. Have some respect. Somebody said, I wonder which community we need to warn against having sex with cicadas. Somebody said, Charlie Sheen will sleep with anything. Somebody said, now we got to look out for flying STDs. Remember the monkeypox? Yeah. This is the new monkeypox, man. They gotta warn us about the flying STDs in the form of cicadas. This is hilarious. This is absolutely funny. So somebody says, if only they would wear a mask, right? Absolutely hilarious. How low can our government go that they're trying to warn people about sex-starved STD laden cicadas, Sesame?
Yeah, they must be really desperate for another scandemic. Mm-hmm. I mean, really desperate. I mean, Pfizer, they probably want some more profits, right? Mm-hmm. They're probably running out of cash, so they need something to start manufacturing and pushing out more crap. And of course, the government, they got a taste of true authoritarianism.
Yes.
And they miss it. They don't want to let that go. They liked that game where they just dictate to us with Fauci. They just make Fauci king, and we all have to live under his boot heel. And, you know, they'll censor us and silence us and just repeat it all over again. And people will justify it at first until it's too late. And then, you know, we'll all – it's just – again, I don't know if it's what it's going to lead to, but they're going to try that again. People should – don't fool yourself. Don't kid yourself into thinking that was an isolated event. That was just a one-time thing. No.
Yeah. Well, maybe forget the mask. Maybe on a serious tip, maybe they can stop the spread of this by putting diapers on these things, because apparently the fungus causes a chalky white plug to burst through their hinies, which then takes over their brains and causes their genitals to fall off. So beware if you come into close proximity of a cicada, beware of the white plug hanging out. That's all I'm saying. You have been warned, America, but at least it gave me something to giggle about. So they're my heroes of the week. I've got two nominees. I already know who my stink of the week is. It's Mike Johnson. No doubt. It's Speaker Mike Johnson, because we know that the Democrats are communist and want to destroy us from within and persecute and prosecute Americans. But to have the Speaker of the House third in line to the presidency and a member of the Republican Party, a self-proclaimed conservative, to be the deciding vote to weaponize the government against me, he's my enemy, my absolute enemy. But the runner-up, Stink, is somebody named Richson, I think is his name. He's allegedly an actor on a TV show, Reacher, who is coming out against Christians for supporting the rapist Trump, according to him. I don't know who this person is, and I don't watch Reacher, but I'm never going to watch the show. So who are your heroes and your stinks of the week?
Yeah, stink, it has to be Mike Johnson. He's turned out to be nothing more than a turncoat, a shill for the deep state. I want nothing to do with him. I don't wish him any ill will, but I really do not trust him. I want nothing to do with him. I think he should be ashamed of himself, truly. For heroes, though, I really do. On the flip side, I think number one, Andy Biggs. I just think Andy Biggs, Congressman Biggs, is doing so much. He seems like one of the very few outliers in Congress, one of the few good eggs who came out against this and demanded the warrant. And he's stuck to his guns and stood by the American people. And he stood by the Constitution today. So I have a lot of respect for that. And that's why I respect Anna Paulina Luna for also stepping up and trying to pull some rare procedural thing. I don't totally understand how it works, but those are two people I can think off the top of my mind that are actually taking concrete steps to stand up for us, our God-given rights, to push back on the tyranny. The rest of them, go to hell. I mean, you're all just a bunch of shills for the deep state. So, and nothing but respect for Anna Paulina Luna, Andy Biggs. There's just a small group of them that are still good, and it's like stuff like that gives me hope. I don't know. I look up to them both, and I thank them both for trying to quash this Leviathan government we have in D.C. that's just constantly figuring out new ways to, trample all over the Constitution, turn this place into the USSR. And it's working. So I don't know, but there's some good people in Congress, and they need to know that we support them. We need to call their offices. We need to show them that we stand by them. We need to make that very known. There are some people fighting the good fight, and they need our help. They can't do it alone. It can't just be a few good actors here and there. It's got to be all of us. We have to step up too. They're showing us how to do it. So respect, my hat is off to Andy Biggs and to Anna Paulina Luna, and I hope it works. I hope they can actually move the needle here. We'll see, but maybe not. But I don't know. Either way, it's a valiant effort, and
at least we need to see effort, right?
Yeah,
we need to see effort. We need to see fight.
Mm-hmm.
This just caving in. Oh, this is the best we can do. That's why we're here. That's why we're in the position we're in, because we've had a Republican Party that makes excuses for not fighting, that just lays down. You have to punch the bully back. You have to be – we're not going to save this country by being nice.
100%.
By showing up to a knife fight with a spork. It's just not going to happen. All right. So we got a weekend coming up. I hope you guys have some fun, wonderful plans. Do you have some fun plans, Sesame?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, stay safe out there. Y'all stay safe. Email me at andrewkshow.com. Topic ideas, thoughts, suggestions. Follow me on the socials. Go to iwantmyhealthback.com/AK. Get some Nanosoma spray, the wonderful face cream, the gel. Take your health back and come back Monday prepared to fight. Love you all. Peace out. Keep your head on a swivel.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.